I just celebrated 20 years, 2002. Yeah. Yeah, I'm old. Went to the reunion yesterday. That was interesting. but it's amazing. We're so proud of you. I want to say this morning, this message isn't just for the graduates. It's definitely for everybody here that's in this place. I mean, I was thinking recently when I graduated, barely graduated. Pastor Jeff can attest to that. My parents, of course. I it was almost to the point where I wasn't going to graduate. I didn't really know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I was supposed to. I had a feeling it was ministry, but you kind of got to graduate in order to do that. Well, I guess not, but in that moment I did, and I felt like I didn't know what I was doing. I felt like I didn't know where I was going to go, who I was going to marry, who am I going to date. You know, when funds started getting tight, where am I going to work? I had so many decisions to make, and this is really where you're at. You know, some of you know where you're going, you know what you're doing, but there's still decisions that you have to make. But I think hands down, everybody in this room, the most commonly asked question for you guys, for everybody in this room, is this, how do I know what God wants? We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, and I kind of want to extend that a little bit more for you guys and for the rest of us in the room. How do I know what God wants? What is God's will for my life? I even had some of you ask me, what do you think God wants for my life? See, so the title of my message this morning is this, Decisions, Decisions. Decisions, Decisions. Because here's the point. The decisions that you make today will determine the stories you tell in the future. Like, who are you today? Well, you're a result of the decisions you've made in the past. And who will you be in the future? Well, I can tell you this, it's going to be based on the decisions that you make today. And let's be honest, making decisions is stressful. Even if they're big or small, I don't know, some of you may struggle with smaller decisions. I have what they call drive-through panic, where I feel rushed when I get up to the drive-through and they're asking me, you know, what's my order? Do you have a drive-through code? And then they say your name, which is the worst. If you don't know this, a drive-through phone on your app, they'll say, what's your drive-through code? You give it to them, and then they're like, hello, Joshua. I'm like, I really wish you didn't know my name. Now the stress is there. What can I get for you today? I'm like, two. Just give me a two. I don't know what's in it. Just get it to me. Decisions are tough, you know? How many of you have made a bad decision in your life? Show of hands. Because we tend not to be the best decision makers, right? On our own, we don't make the best ones. When the pressure is mounting up and we need to make a decision, sometimes we choose poorly. See, some of you in this room have some decisions that maybe you regret. I wish I didn't date that person. I wish I didn't buy that car. Or for me, I wish I didn't eat sour cream because I love sour cream, but sour cream hates me and it happens every time. It's like regretting those decisions. Or how about, I don't know any of y'all in this room, you know the redneck saying, watch this. You know what I'm talking about? Watch this. You know, for some of you, it's hold my beer and watch this. You know, it's like you're doing something stupid in the moment and you will regret it, I promise. In fact, I was with my friends from Bible school, and actually a lot of them were from Camp Judah and stuff like that, relationships that we formed. Most of us are in the ministry. And we were in Cuca over the last couple of days at Cuca Lake. And my one friend, Kevin, decided to do something very stupid. And he wanted to push my friend Slim into the water, right? He wanted to push them off the boat. Well, they're both pretty hefty guys, and it was a bad decision that he made because all of a sudden, the weight of Slim getting pushed off the boat, like, somehow miraculously, like, shifted, and now the both of them just fell flat on the boat, like, crack, and we heard a crack, and my friend Kevin, who was pushing him, thinking he was being funny, broke his finger. So, and not much you can do about a broken finger, but, and then my friend Slim pretended like he was dead, and we thought he was for a second. It was pretty bad. lots of bad decisions, right? But in life, there's a lot of bad decisions. There's a lot of decisions that you have to make, good and bad. Like, should I deep keep dating this person? Should I break up? Should I go to this school? Should I not? What should I major in? What job should I have? Should I marry now or later? Should I have more kids? Or should I get the snip? Should I? My wife's like, please, God, do it. Please. Speak to him, Lord. Should I buy a new car? Should I keep this hunk of rust that I got? What should we do? And as graduates, you're sitting here, I've noticed, as Gen Z, I like to study generations, and you're Gen Z, and you guys have a lot of strengths, a lot of strengths. You're entrepreneurs by just based off of who you are, probably from YouTube and watching Mr. Beast. You have compassion. You value friendships. You have a lot of great things about your generation, but one of the things that you guys struggle with, and I think, to be fair, a lot of us struggle with, is making decisions. Making decisions, because they're tough, because there's so many. There's just so many that you have to make. It's like, you ever watch Netflix? You go on Netflix, and you're wanting to watch something, but you spend an hour looking for something to watch. Anybody? It's like, okay, save for later. I don't want to watch that. Save for later. Maybe I'll watch this. Do I want to watch this? You watch the trailer. Maybe I don't. I don't know. Do I want to invest all my time in this? It's like all those decisions can end up paralyzing you. But today, what I want to go back to is the very first question is, what does God want? What does God care about? That's what the question is. And listen, God says very little about your future, but he says a lot about today. He says very little about what you'll do in your future, but he tells you a lot about who you are today and what he's asking you to do today. So to take notes, if you're doing that, if you got your phones out or your devices, if you're taking notes, number one, God cares about this. God cares about the who before the do. The who before the do. God is more concerned with who you are becoming than what you're doing. More concerned. Not that he doesn't care what you're doing, but he is more concerned about who you are than what you're doing. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says this: God's will is for you to be an accountant. No. God's will is for you to be a police officer. No, that's not what it says. God's will is for you to be holy. Holy. The Greek word for holy means to be wholly set apart, different from the world. God wants you to become more like him every day. That's his will for your life. When you're wondering, what do I do with my life? This is it. God wants you to be holy. And you're like, how could I do that? You just strive to be more like him. The Bible never talks about his will for your career, but he's always calling you to be more like Christ. Always. So the question isn't, what does God want me to do? It's, what does God want me to, who does God want me to become? Now, I believe that God has called me to be a pastor. I do believe that. But that's secondary, not the primary. See, more than being a pastor, it's God's will that I become more like him. More than being that. Now, see, I could be a pastor and be beating my wife and cheating on my taxes and kicking my dog. And guess what? That would mean that I am not in the will of what God wants for my life, even though I'm doing the one thing I feel like he's calling me to do. Because first and foremost, he cares about the who more than the do. See, I want to be in the will of God. I want to do what he wants me to do, but that's in the day-to-day life. As this is what gets us in trouble, because we think God cares more about what I do than who I'm becoming. We think that he cares more about the do than the who, but he cares more about the who first. So, should you marry this person or not? That's a big question. Be faithful to Christ. Should I stay in this job or take another one? Be faithful to Christ. Should I major in elementary education or pre-med? Be faithful. Be faithful in Christ. See, God's will is more about who you are than what you do always. Here it is, right here. This is it. Write this down. If you're becoming the right who, you will choose the right do. It's like, I kind of think this is like a little bit of a Dr. Seuss this morning, but you know, all the places you'll go. If you're becoming the right who, you will choose the right do. And some of you might be wondering, well, who do I marry? Listen, set all your worries aside. Set all your worries aside, because if you're becoming the right who, you'll find the right who. So many times people come to me, I don't know if this is the right person, I don't know. And then they're sleeping with that person, they're, you know, doing everything along those lines. I can tell you right now, that's not the right person, because you're not the right person. You see what I'm saying? People worry about these things so much, but they're not worrying about the day-to-day life, and that's where it matters. That's when God sets your path straight. That's when he's doing what he's called you to do. So, number two, what does God care about? He cares about the why before the what. The why before the what. What I mean is motives matter to God. Motives matter to God. In Proverbs 16:2, it says this: you may think everything you do is right, but the Lord judges your motives. You think, see, that's how it works a lot of times. We think we know what we're doing, what's right, but God's asking not the what, he's asking the why. See, we have two reasons for doing something. The first one I say is what sounds good. We like to tell people why we're doing something because it sounds good. So you give them the reason, oh, I'm doing this because of this, and you're just telling them what they want to hear, or that you sound a little bit more holy, right? We've all done this. But the second reason is why we do things is the real reason. What is the real reason? That's what God wants to know. That's what he cares about. See, we have three kids, and it didn't take us long to realize that our oldest child is, well, let's just say this. It didn't take us long to realize that she will be nice and do things around the house because she wants something, right? I think they all do that to an extent. So when I have my daughter come up, you know, and she's like, hi, Dad, here's your coffee for this morning. Oh, thanks. Appreciate that. Hey, Dad, is there anything I could do around the house? You know, you start, it sounds great, right? It's like Little House on the Prairie. It's like, wow, this is amazing. And then she's like being nice with her sisters, and she's putting away her clothes and folding them, and it's like, then it comes. Dad, can we get a puppy? See, I say no, because just like God cares about motives, so do I, and that's why we don't have a puppy, right? Because she'll say, I want a puppy, and she'll do all the right things. She'll say all the right things, everything I want to hear. But what's the motive? Why are you doing these things? Because it doesn't mean as much when there's something tied attached to it. See, Jesus even warned that practicing righteous acts just to be seen by other people mean you lose that reward. He cares about the motive. That's why this verse I want to read to you is so powerful. This is like, know this verse, sing this verse, like make this your verse. Proverbs 139, 23 through 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me into the way everlasting. It's such a powerful word. It's such a powerful thing because you're asking him to search you and find out, God, why am I doing this? Because he cares about the motive. He cares about the why before the what. Ask the Lord to search your heart. In Galatians 1:10, it says this. It says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. See, you can't get to the right place when you start with the wrong motives. You can't. As far as I've seen, anytime we're starting with the wrong motives, we end up ending up in the place we don't want to really be. You won't do the right what if you're driven by the wrong why. Should I buy this car? Well, why? Is it transportation, or are you trying to make some kind of statement to prove to other people that you've made it? Right? I pulled up, and I told you I did that 20-year anniversary yesterday, or 20-year reunion, and we pull up in our minivan, and I'm looking around, and I'm seeing, you know, Teslas and Audis, and I'm looking at all these cars. I'm like, yeah, I got the minivan. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to buy another car to prove something to them. That's the motive, right? How about this? Should I post this photo? Should I put this on the internet? Why? Are you trying to honor Christ, or are you trying to draw attention to yourself? Seek the motive of why you're doing what you're doing, because God cares about the motive. Are we trying to honor God, or are we trying to please ourselves? That's a really big question. Are we trying to honor God or please ourselves? Are we doing something because we want to feel validated by our peers, or are we trying to seek God and his favor in our lives? Colossians says it this way. It says, and whatever you do, everybody say, whatever you do. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything. That doesn't matter. Like, listen, because God's will is for you. It's for the who before the do and the why before the what. If you're working on a computer all day, serve Christ there. If you end up working and you have a bad boss and your boss is a jerk, serve him. Show him the love of Christ. Honor him, because you're honoring God in that moment. If you're a stay-at-home mom cleaning laundry and poop all over the place, clean the poo for the glory of God. Do everything. It doesn't say some things. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name. All in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks and glory to God through the Father through him. He cares about the why before the what. He cares about the who before the do. See, this life isn't, if you don't get anything, get this one. If this life isn't about following God for a few big decisions, this faith life is all about countless daily decisions that we make of denying ourselves, denying our flesh, and following God. It's not the big decisions. We always want to make it about the big decisions. Like, God, should I do this? Should I do this? But we don't ask him about the little ones. We're all worried about, should I buy this car? Should I buy this house? And God's like, well, you know, that stuff's there, but I'm really concerned about who you are and why you're doing what you're doing. I had a guy come up to me once and ask me, should I go to this school? Should I go to the army? Should I go to Bible school? And he asked me, Pastor Scott and Pastor Jeff, you know what we told him? Well, I don't know. He's like, well, which one does God want me to do? And I think collectively we're all like, I think God just wants you. He just wants you, and he will lay out the path for you. I trust him that way. Do you? Like, I trust that a good father, that if I'm seeking after him and I'm loving him and I'm knowing him, he will guide my steps. You know, there's some obvious easy ones. Should I gamble on the multi-million dollar? Yeah, no, you shouldn't. That's obvious. But those things become more obvious the more you're in a relationship with Jesus. And the more you're in his presence, you're like, ooh, I don't like that. It's almost like second nature. Like when my wife and I are together and we're doing something out and about, I know what's going to drive her crazy, and I try not to do those things. That's marriage advice right there. If anybody wants marriage, there you go. There's a freebie. Happy wife, happy life, right? Yeah, ugly guys with hot wives club. I'm in it. Gotta keep it alive. You know, I was thinking, there's a lot of influential people in my life. You know, Pastor Jeff, obviously, my dad. I got my friend John Lonneville. I was thinking distinctly of somebody you probably remember, Tracy Kays. You know what's funny about Tracy Kays? Tracy Kays wasn't a pastor. She wasn't like, you know, this huge person on stage or anything. She didn't do any, you know, she wasn't like a, like, you know, what people think is success, right? But I can tell you right now, that woman loved Jesus and loved people. She showed compassion when she shouldn't have. And honestly, there's times where I'm like, why would you give that person $200? Like, what were you thinking? She would do that. She would show compassion and love and endurance. She would show generosity. And when I'm old and gray, and I'm with my wife, and we're sitting there on the back porch, I'm not going to be thinking of, man, remember that sermon I preached? Remember that? I'm not going to be thinking of, remember when we built that addition on the front of the church? Remember when we did this event? I'm not going to be thinking of those things. I'm going to be thinking of the little things. The things that caused us to continue in our marriage together and to raise our family. The things that caught, like when we were faithful to each other and faithful to God. That's the stuff I'm going to remember. That's the stuff that matters to God. It's not about the who, or it's not about the do. It's about the who, and it's not about the what. It's about the why. He cares about these things. It's not about the destination. It's about the direction. See, rather than arriving, let's look at it more towards we're moving constantly every day towards God. See, when one of my children, you know, and they're making some bigger life decisions, and they say this, they say, Dad, what do I do? Listen, whatever you do, this is what I'm saying to you. Whatever you do, if you're becoming the right who, God will help you choose the right do. If you are driven by the right why, God will lead you to the right what. And if it's more about the who and the why, and it's more about the who and the why than it is the do and the what. So whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Amen? I want to pray for you. Well, can we stand together? I want to pray for the graduates again, but I want to pray for everyone in this room because I believe that God is something special for all of us. But I believe that there's too much in this. Listen, there's too much in our culture, especially in a Christian culture, that we obsess so much about the do and we're not focused on the who. But I believe that the Lord wants desperately for us to be chasing after him because he cares about our hearts. And as your graduates are here and you're, you know, I know some of you know where you're going, but there will be decisions to make. But the one decision I want to pray that you have is that you continue to seek his face in everything you do. That you continue to try to glorify him in whatever you're doing, whether that's in a nursery school, whether that's, you know, trying to figure out what you're doing or at Bible school or at doing med stuff and rocket science or whatever you said you were doing. That's over my head, Leah. I'm sorry. You said that and I'm like, boy, you're really smart. But God cares about you. I want to say that. God cares about you. You know, a lot of times we think that God's just looking for us to get the gold medal or he's looking for us to get that home run and it's all works-based. It's not. He's just looking for your heart. He's looking for that. And I promise, I swear to you, I promise, if you put him first, if you really think about who you are and what you're and why you're doing what you're doing, he will guide you. I promise that. I promise that. Father, we just come before you this morning again, and we thank you for these graduates. We thank you, Lord, that these men and women that are here in the front row, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they will chase after you with the decisions that they're coming for. Not just the big ones, but the little day-to-day ones. Lord, that they will pray that verse. Lord, seek my heart. Search me, Lord. See if there's any wicked way in me. Because I want to honor you in everything I do. Lord, I pray that if there are things, even in this whole congregation, there, I'm sure we all have regrets and things we wish we didn't. I don't believe that the Lord has this thing that is in concrete, and if you get off the path, then you're screwed. I don't believe that. I believe that God has a way to get you back on to the right path that he's called for you. He has a way of like a GPS, you're going the wrong direction, and he knows how to get you right back on to where you need to go. Was there a little detour? But no, you're on the right path, and you're following his voice, and you're doing as he's calling you to do. When he asks you to take a left, you take a left. He asks you to take a right, you're taking a right. And when those big decisions come, I'm just praying that the Lord will just give you this confidence that comes because of the work that you've laid down in your daily life. Lord, I pray that not only for these graduates, but I pray that for each and every person in this room, including myself. Lord, we want to honor you in our day-to-day life. We want to love you in our day-to-day life. We want to die to ourselves in our day-to-day life. When we feel like we just need to cuss out our boss or our coworker, Lord, in those moments, Lord, would we be surrendered to you, like Max said in worship? Would we be surrendered to you? Would we be searching your heart? Lord, we want your heart. We want your ways. And Lord, we know you're guiding all of our decisions, but we need to be with you. Like Pastor Jeff said a couple weeks ago, it's like we need you, Holy Spirit, in our lives guiding us. And if we're apart from you, it's really hard to hear your voice. So Lord, let us stay steady. Even though we may make mistakes time to time, let's stay steady in the fight to become holy as you've asked us, Lord. Because that's what you really want. You want our hearts. Lord, we pray again, blessing over the class of 2022. And we pray, Lord, that you bless them. In the name of Jesus, we all said. Amen. Amen. Hey, take a moment and come and congratulate them, would you? Tell them good job. Maybe give them the Pentecostal handshake. Anybody know what that is? You put like a $5 bill in there and give them a little handshake. All right, God bless you as you go. Love y'all. See you next week.